Okay, if we get everybody to get in their seats, we're going to get started. Katie, would you please call the roll?
Representatives Adkins, here. Bernard, here. Chestnut, Dorworth, here. Eisnagel, Frezen, Frisch, here. Holder, here. Hugel, here. Jenny, here. Jones, Kerr, here. Legg, Nair, here. Precourt, here. Rogers, here. Roussan, Shank, here. Workman, here. Chair Weatherford.
Here.
Quorum's present.
All right. Welcome, everyone. I can tell it's the first committee week because almost everybody's on time and in their chairs. So it's this is the gold standard, as Representative Frezen said. We're starting on a very high note here with punctuality. So we appreciate that. I want to say really quickly, you know, we just spent the entire summer with each other around the state of Florida, hearing from citizens all across. And I want to thank, obviously, the 5,000 citizens that came out to hear us and to offer suggestions, and over 2,000 people who gave specific instruction. I think that we should all be proud of the fact that we were able to solicit that much information from the public. And so I appreciate you all taking the effort and spending time away from your families to do that. And, you know, I just have to point out there's one of the first rules in politics is that you don't make the chairman look bad. But I would just like to point out for the record that Representative Bernard and Representatives Clark, Reed, and Julian both went to every single hearing around the state of Florida, didn't miss a single one. So you guys, they are the gold standard and are probably crazy, but we are grateful to y'all. And I was just telling Representative Rogers, I felt bad about it. You know, she doesn't get the present, but she actually went to 25. So she slept in on one of those meetings. We haven't decided which one it was. And the only other person who put in the kind of above and beyond was Representative Pasadomo, went to a significant amount, I think 22 out of the 26. We appreciate you doing that as well. She says 23. We'll figure it out. If y'all will bear with me for a minute, there's a lot of information to go through today. This is the full committee, as you know. We've got subcommittee meetings all afternoon. But I'm going to try to kind of download to you a lot of information about what's going to happen over the next few months. And so if you'll bear with me, I've got a lot of notes here that I want to walk you through, and then we'll have some time for Q&A, and then we'll have staff walk us through a very brief presentation. So the first thing I want to do is kind of briefly talk about some of the expectations of what's going to happen for the next few months. The bulk of the work during those months are going to be done at the subcommittee level. So most of the work, substantive work, I'm hoping, just like any committee, will be done in the subcommittees. I can only expect that we as a committee will meet probably two or three more times prior to when it is that the subcommittees would report the redistricting bills to us. So this committee will not be meeting on a regular basis throughout the committee process, but the subcommittees will. So over the next few months, I would encourage each of you to pay close attention to what is going on in all the subcommittees. Regardless of whether you serve on one of the subcommittees, we as a group will have to be very critical of the work and the product that comes before us. We are going to have to answer questions like, do the maps pass and meet the requirements of the Federal Voting Rights Act? Do the maps meet the standards of Florida's Amendments 5 and 6? Have the subcommittees really vetted a number of options for those maps? Those are the questions that we're going to have to answer as the maps come to us. And ultimately, whatever exactly the maps look like, we put forth to the entire membership of the House, we as a group have to explain to the entire membership what those plans do and if they meet the requirements both in federal and state law. So just a quick history lesson that we've all heard before, but I think it's worth saying again, how did we get here today? As you all know, over the last several months, we have gathered input from thousands of citizens across Florida regarding where and how congressional and state legislative districts should be drawn. So I mentioned it earlier, but I'm going to hit it again. A couple of the facts. The first is at our 26 hearings, we were in 25 counties, and approximately 5,000 people came to the meetings, and approximately 2,000 actually presented ideas. That is historic. To date, we are in receipt of 64 partial or complete maps from the public. 10 years ago, just for comparison, the legislature only received 4 maps. We've had 64 today. We are also in receipt of more than 200 additional unique suggestions for maps that came to us from social media, emails, letters, faxes. We even got one in a postcard. So we've gotten a lot of feedback that way as well. At this point in the process, our committees will begin digesting all of the information so that members can react, make suggestions, and mesh out the ideas with the legal requirements that the federal and state laws require. Based on this public input, each subcommittee will have more than enough information to prepare committee proposals in addition to any individual member bills that may be offered. My overall request to the subcommittees and to the chairman specifically is this. I would ask that you provide at least 3 complete options for each type of map. Now, what that means is that you would send this committee 3 congressional maps, at least 3 Senate maps, and at least 3 options for a state house map. Exactly how each subcommittee meets that goal is up to the member of that subcommittee and the members of that subcommittee and the chairman. But my suggestion would be that you consider 4, 5, 6, or even more complete maps and make it a combination of either member bills or committee bills. Regardless, our staff is available to everyone to help you develop those proposals or the amendments to those proposals. Now let's talk a little bit about the timeline that we're working under and some of the practical suggestions that we have. If the committees are going to report 3 options each to this committee, I would recommend that the members who wish to file redistricting bills, so if you are a member on this committee or on a subcommittee or any member of the legislature and you plan to file a bill, we would ask that you do so before the November 14th committee week. Now, I would have to tell you that November 14th also happens to be my birthday. Not that I'm asking you to take notes on that, but you know, there's no coincidence, but it is my birthday. So on by my birthday, we would hope that every member of this body has turned in a map, or if you're going to turn in a complete bill, do it by that date. We say this also because it's expected that the subcommittee's workshop on redistricting maps, so that any redistricting maps that can get voted on have time to mature and allow members to look at those bills and really understand them before they're asked to take a vote. So in other words, it is preferred that the votes taken on maps reflect more than one committee meeting in which that map is discussed. So we would like to have those maps be out there for the public and for you to analyze very critically. For the public, I would recommend that members of the public submit any original suggestions for maps, before November 1st. Now, the reason why we do that and we ask for November 1st for the public and November 14th for members is because that gives members the opportunity of about 2 weeks to study those submissions by the citizens before your own suggested deadlines. Of course, we will accept comments and suggestions from the public throughout the process, but practically speaking, anything received November 1st or thereafter will have to be viewed as more comments and reactions to the maps that we are already working on through the process. Now let's talk a little bit about exceptions to each of you as members. I'm sorry, not exceptions, expectations to each of you as members and who might present redistricting maps or amendments to maps. Members who would like to submit maps or amendments in committee will be given as much courtesy and as possible to get their ideas on the agenda to be presented. However, it is important to note that members will be expected to explain the details of their maps or their amendments. And so even if you're opting to file a map that has already been offered by the public, what we would ask you to do is if you're going to submit a map, whether it's in an amendment or actual original map, that you be able to explain what that map does, district by district. That's very important. We're going to ask every person who is submitting maps to be able to do that. That helps the process work better. So please know your maps. Also, Representative Atkins, Eisenagle, Fresen, and Jones, since you are on this redistricting committee but you're not on a subcommittee, I would ask that you attend a mix of the subcommittee meetings so that when the redistricting committee meets those 2 or 3 times prior to receiving maps, you will be able to report to this committee your observations of the big picture issues that the redistricting committee should be prepared to address when it receives those maps from the subcommittees. I may ask you also to brief the redistricting committee on common themes, challenges, and the results of the subcommittee's report. Now, members, regarding the packet that you have in front of you, as you can see, everybody should have one. If you don't have one, raise your hand. In the packet, you will find summaries of the verbal and written testimony that we have received thus far from the first 4 of the 5 regions that we visited this summer. So the Panhandle, Northeast Florida, Central Florida, and Southeast Florida. This is the material that the subcommittees will cover today in their review of public input. In the early October interim committee meeting, the subcommittees will cover a 5th region, the Southwest Florida, as well as we will cover all the complete maps that were submitted to the legislature online. So essentially what we're doing is we've broken this discussion up into 2 interim committee weeks, and we will add Southwest Florida and the other maps for the second week into the packet. In addition, we have included for you in the 5th tab summary level data regarding the first 63 maps that have been submitted from the public. All of this information will be available on the Florida Redistricting website for anyone in the public to review it. Feel free to take all this information with you today, and note, if you are on one of the subcommittees, you are going to get the same packet again. And just one last note before I turn it over to questions that many of you may have. In the next day or two, I'm going to be sending out probably a memo to all the members of the House, not just the members of the committee, refreshing everybody about the procedural rules that will guide us as we go through this process. So you'll be getting that as well. I know that was a mouthful, but I think we covered a lot of territory. Are there any questions from the members of this committee in regard to what I just discussed? Any comments from this committee on what I just discussed? Wow, you guys are good. Okay. Well, with that, with the remaining time, what I'm going to do is ask our staff director, Alex Kelly, to give us a brief update as to what's going on with our websites and all the public information that we have. But before I turn it over to Alex, I just want to say this for those of you who went to numerous public hearings around the state, I think everyone took notice and how organized we were, how well-run the meetings were. All that happens. It looks really smooth when you're running the meeting, but I can tell you, it's like a duck on a pond. Those legs are churning underneath, and those legs that were churning were our staff here in the Florida House. And led by Alex Kelly, our entire staff did a great job around the state of Florida at all 26 hearings, so we thank you very much for that. So with that, now that we've embarrassed you with kind words, Alex, you're in charge, buddy. Take over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, we just wanted to briefly go over with you today, now that the public meetings are over and you're embarking on interim committee meetings, what's changed regarding the public information, what's new on the websites, and where the kinds of questions your constituents may put your way, where you can find information to answer their questions now that you're entering the interim committee meetings. And just looking at floridaredistricting.org, if you look on the left side of the page, what you'll see are the legislative headlines. And that section of the page is meant to provide the latest, most current information. For example, the information that's in your packets today, it's right there, so that if any of your constituents are unsure as to where to find the most recent bills that have been filed, when redistricting bills do get filed, the most current information, by default, they can go to floridaredistricting.org, under headlines, look right there. If you scroll down the page a little bit, the public participation section's been there for some time, but just based on actually questions that we tend to get from your legislative aides, wanted to point out the concepts and terminology document. That's probably one of the most frequent questions we get from your staff, presumably from your constituents. I just wanted to point that out for you. And then if you scroll down a little further, the legal concepts, if you need a refresher on the information that you heard back in April during the last session, the presentations on redistricting, legal issues, state issues, federal issues, all that information's right there. And if you move over to the right side of the page, again, under the heading of questions that your staff tend to ask and presumably probably are coming from your constituents, the additional resources, probably the most popular documents we actually have on the site, that's where you can get the information pertaining to the population numbers for your current districts, what they need to lose or gain to achieve equal population, the current maps and so forth. If you scroll up the site, just wanted to highlight a few of the buttons here that have changed a little bit or where there's new and additional information. The public hearing videos button, if you noticed when you were going around the state during the public meetings, it said watch meetings live. If there's still an archive of all the videos and downloadable audio files right there. It just reads differently, but that's where you can get direct access to the meeting videos if you need to reference them or download an audio file from the 26 meetings. If you scroll up a little bit to meeting records, and in fact, Ben, if you could open the page, the different information that comes out of meetings like this, the public meetings from the summer, you probably realize that you have to go to 4 or 5 web pages to get that kind of information that can be burdensome on your constituents. And so in duplicate to what's on myfloridahouse.gov and the Florida Channel's website, links to all the videos, podcasts, presentations, and so forth are all right there on that page. So there's one-stop shop for all that information. Ben, if you could go back to Florida, thank you. And the blog and resources page, that page is ever-changing. It's just additional information for your constituents who really wish to dive into the details of redistricting, and there's always information there regarding greater insight into meetings just like this. So for your constituents who are trying to connect the dots between the summer meetings and what you're doing now, there's always blog posts there, and there's additional information if they really, again, want to dive into the details of this redistricting process. And then the last thing we want to show you is the public submissions button. And this is probably a question that we also get quite frequently, which is just where to go look at the 63, and we actually got a 64th that will be added to the site soon, but the 63 public submissions that are on the web now, go to this page, the public submissions page, and here what you actually find is a blog-style page where you can get a quick view of the maps. If, Ben, you just want to click on the wrong button. There you go. If you want to get a quick view of one of the maps that's been submitted, or if you want to get more detailed information, the data that goes with the maps, if you really want to actually download the maps and actually pull them up in My District Builder yourself, you can do that all here at the website. And Ben, why don't you close that? You can search the maps here at the site by category, if it's a complete congressional plan, a partial plan, a complete house plan, partial house plan. You can search by the name of who may have submitted it. So if you know a particular person submitted a plan but you don't know anything else about it, you can search by their name. You can search by the counties that it impacts if it's a partial plan. But the neatest thing that you can do here at the website, Ben, why don't you go to that first plan, is you can actually download the files and upload it in My District Builder. Ben is going to click on what's called the KMZ file, and he's going to save that. Why don't you save that to the desktop? Just hit yes. And Ben just saved the file from Mr. Ed Wendell's state senate district that he submitted. And Ben, why don't you go to My District Builder? And Ben's going to go into the file tab, and he's going to click on open, and he's going to go find that file, and he's going to click on open. And that's just telling you that this could take a moment. If it's a statewide plan, it might take up to a full minute, but it's just one district. So Ben, why don't you do a full screen view? So pretty quickly, Ben was able to save the plan that someone in the public submitted to his desktop. He opened it in My District Builder, and now he can actually work with that plan. So if one of your constituents or someone else submits a plan that you like or you want to work with, that's how you can pull the plan into My District Builder, and then from there, edit the plan yourself and resubmit it as your own work product. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Alex. Members, any questions for Alex? Yes, Representative Kerr, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Alex. Actually, I have a quick question. Is there, and I should have asked you this before, but I forgot, is there a way to also pull it up in Google Maps? I just find Google Maps to be very easy, and I know on the Senate we can do it, but I was trying to figure out how to do it in the House.
Representative, we could give you a link to do that. We could provide you with a link that to do that. And if you'd like, we could provide those links on the site.
Okay. Thank you. Good question. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you very much, Alex. Members, that's pretty much it for business today. I just want to take a brief moment to thank you all again. I thought that the tour around the state and the listening tour was tremendously successful. 2,000 people showed up to give us their thoughts. They're going to be in your packets. Study them and understand them. And we will be back and waiting for the subcommittees to get to work. So we look forward to working with you. I'm sorry, Representative Jones, you had a question?
Okay, first day back, I got to remember how to use the mics. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know that prior to us leaving to go to on our tour, there was a lawsuit that was being undertaken. Can you give us an update on where we are on that? And I know there was a ruling made.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a good question. It was in regard to a lawsuit that was filed in regard to Amendment 6, which the House intervened in that. I think it was written, I know the proper terminology because I'm not an attorney, but I guess the case was thrown out. Basically, the proponents lost. The House, obviously, we respect the decision of the court, and I don't think any decision has been made in regard to what the future of that lawsuit will be. And so we will keep you up to speed on that. I think there would be an announcement of some sort to the membership if that were to change. But right now, I think I would just tell you we respect the decision that was made by the court, and we'll continue to look at it going forward.
So we shouldn't anticipate any appeal or anything at this time?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's a decision the Speaker has to make in regard to that legal question. But I think that that decision will be made at some point, but it has not yet. Good question. Anybody else? Representative Jenny.
Thank you, Chairman. First of all, just to kind of piggyback off what Representative Jones said that I really wasn't in my head before she made her comment, is there a mechanism for us as a body to request that we as a body no longer support the lawsuit and can pull out of it?
I think as an individual member, any member can express their thoughts and opinions. And so if you wanted to reach out to the Speaker either in writing or verbally, I'm sure he would encourage you to do so. But as a body, I don't know if there's a way that we do that. But as an individual member, I would, you know, if you have strong feelings about it as a member, you should let them be done.
And if I may, Mr. Speaker, sure, you recognize. Question on a completely unrelated subject. Well, I guess it's all redistricting, so it is somewhat related. Basically, it was about the timeline we're currently using. Has it been altered lately? And is it the same timeline we've been working with since day one?
I think it's the same timeline. You know, the idea, of course, is the Constitution doesn't allow us to vote on these maps until January, the legislative maps until January. We're not in session until January. So we want to make sure that we give all the maps that are submitted, the 64 plus that we've gotten from the citizens, plus maps that you may be submitting as members, plus maps that these committees may be presenting. We want to give them thorough time to be vetted and to have the opportunity to be amended before they work their way to the floor. So we're ahead of schedule. We've had a more success getting public input than any legislature in Florida has ever had, and I would put us up against any state in the country. And so I'm proud of where we are right now as we stand, and we're going to continue to move forward. And hopefully the subcommittees will get to work, and we'll stay on them, and we'll start making progress.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Bernard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the comments that you made was that the subcommittees would submit three maps. Would they submit them by the November 14th or the?
No, we don't have a date for that. We haven't come up with a date certain on that. When I say submit, you'd vote on them. The maps are treated just like any other bill. And so you would literally vote on three House maps of the House committee, three Senate maps out of the Senate subcommittee, and three congressional maps. And the thought process behind that is, as opposed to just trying to pick one map, it basically gives the full committee, this committee, options to look at. And I think that what the citizens want, what I've heard over the last 3.5 months, is that people want to see different options. They don't want take it or leave it. They want to see options. And so that's exactly what my hope is the subcommittees will give them. How you get to those three maps is entirely up to each subcommittee. And so if you can start off with 20 maps and whittle it down to three. But the idea as a full committee would be, just like in any legislation, to try to narrow it down and focus on just a small number of maps, and then allow this committee to go from three, hopefully, to one.
One more follow-up, Mr. Chair.
You're recognized.
So would we vote on them before session begins, or in the subcommittees, would we vote on them?
There's nothing that prohibits us from doing that. I mean, I think a lot of this will be determined. You may have some committees who are some subcommittees who are ahead of the others. You may have one that's really proactive and is blowing through the process. You may have another one that's not moving as quickly. And so there is no date certain when they have to vote on them. It can be before session, but also can come in session.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You got it. Thank you. I think the most important thing I'll just point out is that each map that we do vote on, that there's enough time for the public and for every member of the legislature to understand them, look at them, and have them debated. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you all very much. Representative Precourt moves we rise.